Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. I'm your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, performance enhancement expert, and author, Sean Douglas. I want to welcome all of our listeners from wherever you are. This show is heard in over 30 countries, such as the US, India, the UK, Canada, France, Australia, and Panama. So I really want to thank everyone, no matter where you're from, I want to thank everyone for their support and for listening to the show. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here, we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight those transformational moments that have changed our lives and how we're using these to help transform others and elevate everyone around us. You can listen to us every Wednesday on the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. However, on any other day, I host special pop-up episodes for book launches, product launches, events, or someone is just simply doing amazing things. I have got to get them on the show. So that is what this show is all about today. The special pop-up episode, you never know when they're going to come. So get to the website, subscribe to the show so you never miss. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play. The show is everywhere. So on the show, we have impactful and amazing guests that are impacting everyone around them. And my guest today does exactly that. So if you're listening live, this is a live show. If you're listening to the recording, catch us live because you can call in at 657-383-1109 and you can talk to me, talk to the guests, and be a part of our show. Again, the number is 657-383-1109 and we definitely screen all the calls so there is no funny business. So help me welcome to the show, Laura Bush. Hey, Laura, how's it going?
It's going great, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
I am so super pumped that you get to be on the show because you come highly recommended by a lot of people that I've talked to that you need to have Laura on the show. Inside of the community, I'm always asking, like, hey, who should be on the show? What do you guys think? Who do you know? And your name came up a couple of times, and I was like, all right, it's on. Let's do this. So super
I'm
pumped.
I'm excited about that.
So we connected at Steve Ulscher's event last September in San Diego at New Media Summit. And it turns out I get to go back there as another icon of influence for podcasting. So super pumped. That's where we met. Great event. And I'm just really, really grateful that you're here with us today.
Thank you.
So if you're ready to go, let's do this. All right, so this episode is titled Writing Your Life-Changing Story with Laura Bush. Dr. Laura Bush is founder and CEO of Peacock Proud Book Writing and Publishing. She earned her PhD in English from Arizona State University in May of 2000. Then, after a 20-year career as a professor teaching literature, composition, and business writing courses in person and online, Dr. Bush reinvented herself as an entrepreneur, starting a book writing and publishing business in 2012. A year later, she was diagnosed with breast cancer and has overcome many other challenges on her way to growing a thriving business. Entrepreneurs, speakers, and coaches hired Dr. Bush to write and publish a high-quality, best-selling book because most have had a book stuck in them for years. She helps them get their book finished and published with confidence and ease so they can establish their credibility and be seen as experts who make a bigger difference and a bigger income. You can go to her website at peacockproud.com, facebook.com, Laura Bush, PhD. She's also on LinkedIn at Laura Bush, and her Twitter is Laura Bush, PhD. So, Laura, I'm reading this and I'm like, this is like completely amazing that after a 20-year career, you're like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to take the leap. I'm going to reinvent myself. What was all that about?
Oh, my. Yes. What was that all about? And I am so glad that that little leap is, that big leap is over now. It was a big leap. So, and I was tremendously naive. I just have to tell you, I grew up, I say, in my mother's beauty shop. It was right next door to her house so that she could have four kids, and two of them, I'm an identical twin. And she was an entrepreneur for 52 years. She had that business, and it grew and grew and grew. And I thought I knew all about business and what it was to be a business owner. And, you know, my mom was pretty progressive. She bought her business when she was 20 years old. But I went off to the university and was there and was never going to be in business because I knew how challenging that was. And then, you know, I kind of got burned out at the university. I'd done everything that I felt like I wanted to do. I still loved teaching, but I felt stuck financially. From 2008 to 2012, there was no raises coming in Arizona. And then 2012, I just decided I'd had it. And I had a friend who was also a financial advisor and several financial advisor people in my life say, you ought to just start your own business. You could make a lot more money and, you know, keep your freedom. And so I said, oh, hey ho, I'll do it. Crazy. Crazy. But
isn't
I really
that how it always
was,
works out?
Oh my gosh. And I was feeling stuck and sad and kind of depressed in life. I had a successful career. I didn't need to leave. I could have stayed there for the rest of my career and been, you know, relatively happy and perfectly financially stable and retirement matching, good health care. But I think lots of people get to this point in their lives where they say, you know, is this all there is? I really feel like I have fulfilled myself in this area of life. There's something more for me. And many times people will stay in that place for a long time before jumping. And I did jump, and it was it became a really frightening leap for a while. But I'm really glad I did it now. But at the time, it truly was, I would say, terrifying. And, you know, I had this picture that I put up on my Facebook page of this woman literally bungee jumping off into the side of the Grand Canyon, into the cavern of the Grand Canyon.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's exactly what it felt like. Still, it was worse. You know, it's like being in a building that's on fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, I can either jump here with the with the hope and the trust and the faith that there's something wonderful on the other side and that there's something much better for me, or stay here in a place where I'm just not feeling fulfilled anymore. And I did it, and I'm glad now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But then, within a year, I get breast cancer. That was not so fun.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And we're going to come to that. But I want to ask you, one of the most important questions that I ask myself and my other guests is, is what is your why? You know, I believe that you have to find out what your why is for everything that you do, because that should be the focal point. You know, when you have a why, you have a reason why you do what you do. So, Laura, what is your why? Why do you do what you do?
I do what I do now. It's an interesting question. My why, I think one of my highest values is freedom and fulfillment, not only for myself, but for people all around me. It pains me to see people not be fully free and not be fully fulfilled. And I really think that at the base, the foundation of my why, of anything that I do, it's am I free here? Am I free to express myself? Am I free to be? Am I free to all that I can be? And do I feel like this is, I'm happy and I'm contributing in the world? That's my why. It doesn't matter exactly what I'm doing, whether I'm teaching at the university or I'm working with people on their books. And I see myself as a book doula, helping people give birth to the book of their dreams. It's because I have this goal of being free and fulfilled and helping other people to find freedom and fulfillment.
Wow. Amazing. Well, then I got to yeah. ask you. I'm blown away. So I got to ask you, who were you in that 20-year career? You know, if you had to look back at who you were and things mm-hmm. that you did, like, what do you see? You know, tell me who you were before you got to this moment right now.
I was a hard worker. Mm-hmm. I was someone who cared a lot about my students, who cared a lot about raising people's consciousness about issues, about having them be critical thinker, which is something that I'm committed to, is being a critical thinker. And in that way, I'm not meaning being critical of others, but being able to think well, speak well, talk well, understand other people's points of view. And so I think that was the kind of person I was. I was also and always have been a very caring person, really committed to volunteerism and to giving back to my communities. I volunteered for several nonprofit organizations, served on boards. So besides whatever I was doing at the university, I was, this is one thing I would say, I was a single person and I am still a single person, felt a bit unfulfilled in my life because I'd expected to be married and have children. And one way that I fulfilled that need was become a mentor in Big Brothers Big Sisters for about 17 years. And that has been really meaningful for me. And so I've mentored several young people in my life. So I think the person that I was before I was an entrepreneur, and it really has been a transformation to be an academic and then an entrepreneur, is more, I was a perfectionist and very committed to learning and education. Yeah.
Right.
And
definitely.
And now, you know, that it's a whole new world as an entrepreneur. It's not that I didn't leave that. That's still a part of me, but there's something that I mm-hmm. know now that I did not know at all. You know, with a PhD and all of that education that you think, you know, well, I must know it all. My grandpa called my PhD my piled higher and deeper. So when you have one of those, you do tend to think that you know quite a bit. But
sure.
That's who I was.
Yeah. Awesome. So can you look back, and you've had a few. This is where we highlight that transformational moment that changed your life. What do you think was the most influential moment? What stands out for you as your transformational moment that set you on the path to what you're doing today?
I know it was the moment. Now, it's funny because I'm going to tell you. I literally was laying down in my bed talking to this friend and complaining. I'm sure I was complaining to him, you know, about whatever was going on in my life and my career, and thinking and saying to him, you know, I should feel fine about this. There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. There's nothing. But I was complaining about money. I was a complaint about money and have been, you know, like not feeling fairly compensated for what I do and for the achievements. And I had this exasperation, frustration, and sadness that I was seeing my own students go out of the university with just a bachelor's degree, and they were starting at a higher salary than I was. And there's something, you know, when I first started my career as a woman and as someone who thought she was going to be married and thought she'd have the summers off, I saw myself as being a teacher and I was going to have these kids and all this stuff, and it was fine to just follow my dreams and whatever I made, that was going to be fine. But there came a point in my life in my 40s when I started to get resentful and feeling unfulfilled and feeling angry. I'm just going to be authentic with you, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's as great as what I was doing was doing, and as much as it means to me and still means to me to read and have my students light up and have epiphanies, you know, ahas, and like I knew that I was doing really well at what I was doing inside the classroom. I'd get my paycheck and I'd see, you know, I was paying all my bills. I could give some to other people, but I didn't have any what I would call expendable income. And so I'm laying in my bed there, I'm sure complaining to him, and he's just saying, well, why don't you just start your own business? Why don't you just, truly was a moment. I mean, it's funny because I want to be able to tell you, well, I was standing here and I want to say it was something bigger, but that conversation just stuck with me. And I just like, I'm going to do this. If he believes that I can do this, and he has his own business and he's known me for a long mm-hmm. time, and I'm going to do it. And I just, and then there were other things that happened that reinforced that. Like people started to mm-hmm. talk with me. I started to talk it into existence, you know, and like mm-hmm. another financial advisor said, he asked me questions, and I ended up doing began with marketing and copywriting. And so I was saying, well, this is what I would suggest that you do with your business and how you would market it. And he's like going, you're telling me more things than the people that I'm paying a lot of money are telling me about marketing. I would for sure hire you. And so I got all of these people kind of saying, yeah, I would hire you. And, you know, I was kind of testing the waters, but yikes. There was still a lot.
I think there's
on.
A
but
lot
anyway,
here, though.
They reinforced what I wanted. Say again,
yeah.
Sean.
There's a lot here. I mean, you've covered, I mean, I think the biggest takeaway that I have from what you just said, and really an underlying meaning, it doesn't have to be, and I was fully anticipating you, oh, when I got breast cancer, oh my gosh, that was the moment. But no, it was a simple conversation over the phone. That's what changed.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, you know, an over the top extravagant, you know, I was hanging off a bridge nearing death. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I had a gun to my face. It doesn't have to be where you're clinging to life. It just literally a conversation steered you into an opposite direction. And whatever happened after that conversation, that's what put you there. You know?
Yeah. And I think people do, you know, you build up to that. There were things that happened that happened up to that, but it's like you get this little, boop, that's the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I was thinking it was going to be, because I have, you know, the whole reason that I do the show is I want to meet amazing people and hear their stories. I mean, I've met people that, you know, they were dragged down a freeway. You know, I've had, you know, guests on here that, you know, I was clinging to life in a hospital bed and it changed my life. And it, like, so many amazing stories. And you have one too. And we haven't even got into it. But your transformational moment changed your life and other people helped you, which I think is amazing, because sometimes our transformational moments are things that happen to us and we're alone in the darkness.
Right.
It doesn't have to be like that. They're not always glamorous. They're not always, you know, it's a split decision. Like, you know what? I'm doing this. Like, I'm jumping. I'm just going to do this. And you do it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. I would actually encourage people to do that, you know, I would actually encourage people to take the leap before a tragedy happens or before you get so miserable that, you know, you make everybody around you miserable and something awful happens to form your life. I mean, there are different types of transformations. I think when people have a child, it transforms their life, and that's something beautiful and wonderful, usually, you know, or, you know, you go off to war and something awful happens, or you get in a car wreck, or whatever, you're in a mass shooting. Unfortunately, that seems to be happening way too often, and even though the
odds
are
three of them in a week,
most of us won't.
Three of them.
Yeah. Yeah. But really, I think more people, if they were to take the action to move towards really transforming, and when I mean transforming, it's like you become a person that you weren't before. But, you know, like when you ask me, okay, who was I? It's not like I'm not fully that person, but I truly know and do and think in a completely different way as an entrepreneur than as an academic. And I know my academic friends who have never been entrepreneurs or who have never been self-employed, they simply cannot know what it is to think in the way of an entrepreneur. I'm sorry. It's just like, I don't know what it is to be a parent.
Yeah.
I can't. I have been a mentor. I've had children close to me, but I don't think until you actually are responsible for that human being, you know what it is to be a parent.
Yep.
And until you have to make sure that the money comes in, that you're not, you don't have a paycheck. And until you have to be a salesperson for yourself and your company, and you're responsible literally for the bottom line, you can't know what it's like to truly be an entrepreneur. That mindset that it takes. And it took me something to be in that mindset and to learn that mindset. And I'm still learning.
Yeah, but it, you use it in other areas of your life too, not just in the career or the professional, you know, area of your life. I mean, you use it once you've got it, like you use it in your personal life, in your spiritual life, in your, you know, finance, like the same principles apply over and over again. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it, being an entrepreneur requires you to be very innovative and self-disciplined, and also, what is the word I'm looking for? Self-starter is what I'm looking for. Somehow,
self-motivated.
You know, there's just self-motivated, disciplined. And I'm disciplined in not kind of like a, I mean, there is the normal way of thinking about self-disciplined, but it's you. You got to get up and do it. It's all you.
Oh, yeah.
And you have a team of people around you that's supporting, right? But you are the boss.
Right. Absolutely. So I got a two-part question for you. The first part is, what has been the best part about your transformational moment and you stepping into that transformation?
Learning things about myself that I didn't know I had in me. I would say like finding out that I can do it, because I would say for the first 3 years of my, I doubted my ability to do it, even though I had all the credentials that would say, you should be able to do this. If anybody's going to be able to do this, you should be able to do it, Laura. You know, I didn't have to work a lot on credentials, but I still doubted whether I had done the right thing. And ultimately, I think it's a newfound respect for who I am and what I'm capable of. And I had to go through the fire, and it was scary. I was scared to my toes for at least 3 years. Having breast cancer, I know we haven't talked about that, but I didn't have a second income. I do have a family that cares about me, and I'm sure that I have friends who, if things really got rough, I could have called on them. But it was the most frightening thing that I've ever done in my life. And I've done, you know, some scary things like start a PhD.
Sure.
And but those felt more just like hard. They felt just like kind of mountains to climb. This felt like a mountain to climb with a safety net.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. So let's talk about the worst part of it all.
What's been the worst part? Confronting what it was really going to take. Because I do think that I was naive about what it takes to be an entrepreneur and bring in money, you know, having cash flow. So that was the worst part. Initially asking people to pay me for my services and such, sales is not, I've had a lot of training in sales and things like that. And when you know that you have something that's of value for people and that they really need, it can make the sales process easier. But, and when you can really get grounded in this person really will benefit from what I have to offer, then sales doesn't become that icky thing. It becomes something that you can really contribute to someone, and you want energy to flow equally back and forth. And so, of course, they need to pay you for it because you're going to give a particular value. But I think the worst part, it's funny because as I'm thinking about this, Sean, I'm really, money is kind of a theme for me. That's what had me leave, you know, being compensated. Yeah. And then the worst part is just getting compensated.
Oh, yeah.
And making it work. But that's the best part is finding out oh my gosh, I can do this. And now the cash flow is happening, and there is, and I'm seeing the magic of that kind of, and beginning to really have momentum. And that's exciting to me, that people are really beginning to refer me, not beginning, but I am getting referred, and I'm proving myself. So the worst part is, you know, starting that process, and the best part is seeing it come to fruition and seeing that I had the courage to stick in with it despite all of the obstacles that I faced.
I love that. So a year in, you're diagnosed with breast cancer. What made you not give up and say, you know what, I there's just too much going on, I can't do this? You know, you kept going. Talk us through that process. What were you thinking when all this was happening?
Well, it was pretty, upsetting, because I knew that I was going to go through radiation. I ended up having stage one and only had radiation and no chemotherapy, and I chose only to have a partial mastectomy. And all of those choices, I was shocked when people were asking me, you know, when I was actually having to face the choice of having a double mastectomy. I'm like, but wait, I just have stage one. But there are a number of reasons that women have conversations about all of that. So what I was thinking was not that I necessarily that I was going to go back to a job, because I genuinely thought I can't go back. It's hard to go back into the university setting. You know, when you've given up your position to say, hey, oh, wait, because it's a very rigorous process to get an academic job. So it wasn't like I was just going to be able to get a job. I was going to have to really find another job. So that was too much effort. I was thinking, where am I going to get my next dollar from? And then I had a $15,000 deductible. And, you know, I had a wonderful health care. So it was all I can say is, that's what I mean by terror. I was more worried about money and supporting myself and not getting into horrible debt than I was about the breast cancer. I actually thought I fortunately was one of those women, when you get breast cancer, when you're in your 50s or midlife, it usually is and I have to be careful. I'm not a medical professional, so anybody, this is not necessarily so, but they're often less aggressive types of cancer, and I was told that, and that this was treatable. And since I had known, and I did have a cousin who did die from cancer, so it was upsetting, but I knew that I was going to be okay from the cancer, but I didn't know if I was going to be okay financially. So what I was thinking was, where's my next meal coming from? How am I going to do this while going through breast cancer? And I actually had been doing some freelance work for a digital marketing agency, and that kind of saved my life because I didn't have to do as much marketing then, and this digital marketing agency brought me some work, and so I could have a little bit of peace of mind that way. It was by no means anything like I was making, you know, from my previous salary, but it was enough, and you know, I was okay.
That's good.
And I when I look back on that, it's a matter of just continuing to, I wish I had had more faith. I wish I'd had more trust. But I think it's difficult to tell people. I mean, people kept telling me, and I really resented it in many ways too, when they'd say, God will take care of you. I apologize, but I just, it was a kind of like, you have no idea. All I need you to do is get my fear. If you could just get how frightened I am, that would make more difference for me. Than if you were to simply tell me God was going to take care of me and it's all going to be fine. And they weren't getting into my world sometimes. That wasn't everybody, but when somebody would say something like that to me, it just didn't help me. I just wanted to say, go away, please.
You know, this speaks to emotional intelligence, you know, because I think that a lot of times, you know, you want to give some kind of awesome quote, right? You know, like, you know, Aristotle said, or Tony Robbins, or Les Brown, or, you know, Zig Ziglar, you know, the Bible says, you know, and you know, they're trying to comfort them, but a little emotional intelligence would go a long way. You know, when my wife and I were dealing with our stuff, you know, difficult pregnancy, we almost lost the baby twice. People were like, oh, God's going to take care of you. And I was like, dude, like, I get it. I go to church, you know, and I literally would like, my pastor would never tell me that. He's like, well, God got this. Like, he would never tell me that. You know what he would tell me?
Yeah.
He would tell me, he's like, you know, you're a believer, right? You know that you are. Mm-hmm. And I know that you are. What I need you to do is to keep the faith and press on. Because you're going to come out the other side a changed person. You're going into something right now. It's deep and dark. But just remember, you're not alone. You know what I mean? And that's all I needed to hear. And I was like, I am not alone. Like, he didn't try to tell me, oh, God, you're fine. God's got this. You're stop. It wasn't even like that. He's like, I know that you're going through something difficult, and I know that you are. Okay? I just need you to know that you're not alone. Okay, and you're going through something difficult.
Yeah, and I would say what I needed also, Sean, was for that person in my life to say, you're not going through it alone. I'm here for you. What do you need? I can come and this is what I could offer to do for you. Or can you tell me genuinely, and I would feel that they honestly and authentically were asking me, what could I do for you? Or just, you know, listen to me. Because sometimes all I need is for someone to listen to me, to what I'm going through, and not try to take any of it away. Just get my fear or my anger or my upset. And then I'm fine. Then I'm like, hey, okay, well, I've had enough of that. Thank you for listening.
Now
you're gone. But when somebody wants to, I think sometimes we say that to other people, and I try to be responsible for that for myself, because we don't want to feel bad, because, you know, some things are horrific that people have to go through, and we feel helpless, and we don't want to feel the pain of it. So I think emotional intelligence truly is, and there were people around me who were that way. And then there were some who, and I know it was their way, and I was saying it to myself when they said it to me, but you know, they meant well, but it didn't land well.
not so much. So you're all good now, right? I mean, you know, so you're cancer free, right? Right. Yeah. How long have you been cancer free?
I'm coming up on my 5 year. This summer, I will not have to go back to the oncologist for regular treatment. Mm-hmm. So usually I was going every quarter for several years, and then every half a year. And now in another year, it'll just be just like any other woman. And so I feel pretty optimistic.
That's a great milestone.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Well, I'm happy for you. Totally happy for you.
Thanks, Sean.
So we're going to switch gears here. Who your biggest influencers are.
The first person who came to mind was actually somebody who's passed now. He was a great mentor of mine. And I think anybody that I would say might be a big influencer. He was a distinguished teaching professor. His name was Ken Morrison. And I actually believe in people in another dimension continuing to influence my life in many ways. And I'm sure that he is. And he just, I loved him because he was as passionate as I was, and he could meet my passion, and I could get as angry or as upset or as excited and happy. And he was right there with me, and he also was this fabulous cook. And so we would have these really amazing conversations over dinner at his house after he had cooked for me. So he's an influencer. I have a wonderful business coach and speaking coach, Jane M. Powers, right now. And she's been tremendously influential on me in my career. And I think that that's something that people really can benefit from, and that I didn't know initially how important it was to have coaches who actually have been through something, and they're a little ways farther in the path than you. I mean, it makes sense, but Jane has been particularly important for me because she is very real, and she wants me to be fully me and not copy her, but learn from her. And she's also been influential for me because she's been that kind of mentor who refers people to me who, you know, she's built up over years her own reputation and her own following. And when she refers me, then that gets on me, that goodness and greatness. And I think that, you know, I'm very grateful to her and others like her who have done that. But I would say those two people are very influential on me and my family members, my mom. You know, she's amazing. I'm getting a little emotional, so just let me pause here for a second.
Sure.
Everything I am is because of my mom, and she only had a high school education and a year of beauty school. And she went home at 19. She went away to Salt Lake City, Utah, and got her cosmetology degree, and then she went back to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, a little small town, you know, woman, and ended up working a beauty shop, and within like 6 months, the beauty shop was for sale, and she bought it, and she had to beg people to give her any money. The bank wouldn't loan her money. Her grandparents wouldn't loan her money because to be a hairdresser at that time was not very, that it was looked down on as like you're doing something that a strumpet would do.
Sure.
So funny. But her uncle ended up loaning her money for her business, and she paid it back in a shorter time than even he asked. And I had a wonderful father, and they were, you know, a great partnership until my father passed of a heart attack at 56, and I'll be 56 a year from now, which is amazing to me. But they had a wonderful partnership, but truly my mother was the driving force in our family, and everything that I am and all of my accomplishments, I really, really can, she's the source of that. So.
Wow. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. That's wow. So if you had to start all over again, your entrepreneurial journey, you just start all over again, and you'd have no contacts, you have none of your contacts, you have no money, but you have all of the knowledge that you've gained over the past however long that you've been in business, what's the first thing you think you would do if you had to start all over again?
So you're saying I don't have any of the contacts I currently have? I don't have any.
Like, imagine if you moved to a new city, right? Like, you moved like all the way across the world or all the way across the country, right? And you packed up and you left with you and the family, you know. But all of the people that let's say have helped you, like you have speaker coaches or business coaches or it's you. And you have to start all over again, knowing nobody, but you still have all the knowledge. What would be the first thing that you would do?
The first thing that I would do is get connected to some kind of community like eWomen Network, NABO, some kind of business networking group, or just get out and meet people. Because really, I think that that's your lifeblood as an entrepreneur, is to go out and talk to people and create a new network. Do not stay at home. I can't do this alone. It may look, you know, like it's my business and such, but I'd actually just start rebuilding a community in another space. That's the first thing I'd do, is get connected and then ask people for, you know, referrals to people who know about business and know the community, know people in my industry or outside of my industry. I'd just start looking to others for their expertise and support.
Awesome. I think that's really key. That you, like, it sounds like there's a level of intentionality that has to happen, right? Like, I'm not just going to, these times I'm going to sit at home. And I mean, most people are like, well, I don't know anybody, so I'll just get online, or I'll just, you know, get an app or something, you know. But it's like, who do I need to know, right? Who do I need to know?
Yeah.
Who's doing what I'm doing or that I want to do at the money that I want to make? You know, at the level that I want to do it at, like, that's who I got to get connected with. That's powerful advice right there.
It is. I mean, I don't think you can do enough of that. And I know So, for example, the one person that I worked for at the digital marketing agency, she was not as comfortable as I was at meeting people. And it's funny to me that I am really at ease with people and going out. And I've done a lot of work to get that way, because if you ask my identical twin sister, Sarah, she would tell you that I couldn't even make a phone call as a kid. I would beg her. I would pay her to call, like, the dentist or the whatever I had to do. I don't care. I was shy. And there is still a shy, introverted part of me. But I'm not afraid of people anymore. I see people as wanting to help each other, willing, and they care. And when you reach out to someone else and make it comfortable for someone else in a social situation, they're grateful. And, you know, it's, and that we are each other's resource. I just went to a group this week, which is an invitation only group. And, you know, there were certain things that I needed to show and demonstrate about myself to be invited to be part of the group. And I really believe part of that too is just being there. And part of what they talk about is giving back. And so looking at how I can help other people, what I have to contribute, and then being open and just listening to what other people either can offer me or what I can get from them. I mean, I heard, for example, a business owner, they were offering, they have some kind of pain management and helping people get off opioids. And I have family members who are facing that difficulty. And so I didn't have any intention to talk with them about my business. I just went over to talk to them about their business. And it turns out that they've been thinking about and for years wanting to write a book. You know, I'm like, great, awesome. But I really wanted what they had to offer and was thrilled to talk with them and then thrilled to find out that I might be able to contribute to them too. But that's truly, if I had to start from nothing again, it's hard to even imagine that. This is reminding me too, Shauna, it's something I just got by attending somebody else's event that she was talking about. Where is the source of your financial security? And it's not actually in a material channel. And by what she meant by that is like a bank account or some other place where you put your money. And it was actually an aha for me. I'm like, and I'm getting this right now just talking to you, Sean, is that the source of my financial security or my security in life, whatever that might mean, is other people and the goodness of other people. And making myself available to them and allowing them to contribute to me.
I like it. Oh, it's good. Mm-hmm. I like that. I never really, financial security, like, where does it come from? I was like, my job? I mean, I've never thought about it to be not material. That's, all right. My mind's blown. That's awesome.
That was something for me, because actually it had me breathe easier, and I thought, oh my goodness, if I had known that when I got diagnosed with breast cancer, even several, you know, like my focus was on where is the money coming from? Where am I getting my next dollar? And that is important in a sense, but it's not, and I have to share it, but I'm getting this newly in my own bones by talking about it with you, is that it's who I am. And what I have to offer and what others people have to offer, and a source that I believe is our higher power or whatever that is. I mean, I came from a pretty traditional religious background. I'm no longer practicing a traditional religious practice, but I have respect for all religious practices and spiritual practices, and I have my own. And I do think that there are sources, there are energies around us, people in other dimensions that have always been with us and always will, and that all of that, you know, even though it's unseen, there's support for us, and that's where our security comes from. And when we start focusing on the bank account, which is what I can do very easily, I do it very quickly and easily, then
that's awesome.
Life becomes small and worrisome.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about what you do and what you enjoy most about it. So tell everybody what you do and you know, talk a little bit about what you enjoy.
So now in my life, what I do is I work with people either as a ghostwriter, a writing coach, editor, publisher, all of those things, anyone at a time or all of them, to help entrepreneurs, speakers, coaches, or anyone who's wanted to write a book about their life, memoirists, autobiographers. And I work with people to write that story, publish it, and launch it as a bestseller so that they get the kind of visibility and attention that they deserve. I call myself a book doula. I want to work with people to write transformational books. And by that, I mean,
love it.
I want the writing of the book to be transformational for the author, in that the author sees life, knows themselves to be an expert, or knows the value of their life in a whole new way because they actually wrote, reflected, and finished that book. And then transformational for readers because it's actually a high-quality, engaging book that actually makes a difference for people. It's not just a throwaway book. It's not just a write your book in a weekend and get it out there, but a really great book. So that's what I do, and I love it because I do see people elevate themselves in their lives by finding out who they really are by writing that book. It really does make a difference. When you see what you wrote and when you see other people benefit from it, it has you view yourself in a whole new way. I know it as an author myself, and I see it in other people, and it's so exciting to help non-writers. That's another thing that I would say. You know, I am what I would call a writer's writer and also an author, but I work with people in all industries and they don't necessarily view themselves as writers, and that's okay. That's why they hire me. So it's exciting to see people improve their writing ability, see themselves as authors and have that experience. So it's very fulfilling for me to help them birth their book.
One of the most awesome things that ever happened to me is I wrote my book and I wanted it to be that, like a transformational book. Like but it was, you know, it was therapy for me though. I was carrying around so much hurt and pain and I was just like, man, I got to get this out. Like when I'm telling you, like I got into tears when I shut my laptop, when I hit, you know, when I hit that period, that's it. And I hit save for the last time and I shut the laptop. I just sat there for a second and then I just broke down. I just started crying. I was like, it was almost like the world left me. Like it was almost like everything I've been carrying around was in the computer and out into the world. Like I didn't have to claim it anymore. We were talking about the address and the mailbox, and we plant that hurt and the pain. It says, I live here. I live in this hurt. I live in this pain, you know? Oh, I can't, the feeling of release that I had, and like I just felt different, you know. And when for somebody said, you know, oh, it's great, yeah, it's a great book, I'm like, oh yeah, I figured, okay, great book, got it, you know. But then one person was like, this book, like, I mean, I didn't go through the same things as you, but some of the feelings that you talk about and some of the things that you've done, like I was right there with you. And but I try to write it in a way that described, right, like I described the burning. I didn't say, oh, this, you know, we had a fire going in the fireplace. You know, it was the crackling and popping of the water saturated wood, you know, that made an essence of, you know, it was like those described, like I wanted to put the reader inside the same room as me. But then I wrote it as if we were at a bar talking, like we're sitting across from each other. I'm just telling you, like we're just talking, right? Conversational.
Yep.
But to have somebody say, this book changed my life, I was like, what? Seriously? Like really? Like, it was weird for the first time. And then everybody else was like, oh yeah, it was real good. It changed my life. And I was like, holy crap. Like, that's awesome. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you don't believe it at first. And then more people tell you, you're like, that's pretty cool. Like, my story changed people. I don't know. For me, that was awesome.
And it doesn't even if it only changed one life, Sean, that would be remarkable. Mm-hmm. But when you write a book, you actually have the opportunity to change multiple lives. And I know some people worry, you know, well, maybe my story isn't important enough, or maybe I'm not good enough, or, well, everybody's already written about this, so why should I write my story? But truly, you have a circle of influence. you will reach people with your story in a way that other people just won't. We truly are all unique, and your book will get into the person's hand who needs it. And it could be just one little part of that book that makes that changes somebody's life. And I'm sure that's what happened. And there will be some people who identify more closely with you and your particular story. Like, you know, they have some very, very similar story. But they're, as adults, we all have the ability to map our own experience onto someone else's and see the similarities, even though that there are differences, and be inspired, or, you know, see solutions to problems that we've faced that you worked out, and go, aha, you know. And that's what I think great books do, both for the reader and for the writer.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So as we close the show, we come to the point where we do a shameless plug. You can plug a friend, quotes, your websites, Facebook, your favorite movie, give a shout out. This is your time to shine. I mean, even shine all episode, but this is your moment.
Okay.
Shameless plug. Go.
Shameless plug. All right. Well, I have one definitely shameless plug. So one of the best, most wonderful, exciting experiences that I think that I offer people happens at my writing retreats. And I think that the best place to either get a book jump started that has been sitting on your hard drive stale and not gotten going, or to start a book. And my book writing retreats have become known as Write Your Book in a Barn, because I grew up in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and my first writing retreat happened in Jackson Hole in my great-grandfather's barn, and it was, well, next to it. And it's a very famous, well-photographed barn because it's got the Grand Tetons in the back, and it's a pointed barn. Anyway, I do another book writing retreat. I've done it about five, this will be the sixth time I've done it. People go away inspired, engaged. They do great things, great work on their book over the weekend. It's coming up on February 23rd through the 25th in Oracle, Arizona at the historic COD Ranch. It's about 2 hours south of Phoenix and an hour and a half north of Tucson. So my shameless plug would be, if you really want to get a great start on your book, see if you can make it to that book writing retreat. And if you can't do that, then at least set up a 30-minute complimentary book consultation with me. And you can do that just by going to my website and hitting on contact, and you'll see an opportunity. And I'm happy to talk with people, no obligation, 30 minutes, and I get a lot done with people in 30 minutes on their book idea. And so whether you work with me or somebody else, I like to help people avoid the pitfalls and problems and of self-publishing, you know, any mistakes it might make, and at least get you on the right road or get you going and inspired that you are the one to write this book, or maybe not. I actually talked someone out of writing a book recently or continuing to promote a book because she'd done all she could and there was nothing else to do and it didn't make sense. And actually I said, I give you permission not to do this anymore. And I think she was really grateful. And I was really grateful for the opportunity to tell her to stop banging her head on the wall about that one, do something else. You know, so
that's awesome.
I would love to help people in any way that I can. If they have been thinking about writing a book, and many people have, I can help you figure that out, or come on to my book writing retreat and find out more, at least. Talk with me about it and see if it's a fit.
Definitely. And where can people reach you, find you, know more about you? How can they connect with you?
So they can reach me by going to my website, peacockproud.com. That's peacockproud.com, like the peacock, the bird. And or they can email me at laura@laurabushphd.com. And I'm out there on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Look for Dr. Laura Bush. You'll find me.
Perfect. I love it. So as we close, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action?
Oh, wow. That's a big thing to say. I think really,
we ask the hard questions on this show.
The first thing that I thought to myself is just believe in yourself. You've
got
to value yourself before anybody else will value, and just believe that you have something of value to offer the world. You really do. And I'm not just saying it. It sounds cliche, but believe in yourself.
Boom. Absolutely love it. So we always close the show and end it with a call to action. So what should someone do today to write their life-changing story?
They should contact me, because I'll help them save time and effort. They really should. I don't care if you work with me or not. 30 minutes with me will make a tremendous difference in your book writing journey. It really will. So I'd give me a call and make an appointment with me and just take advantage of the 30 minutes free with somebody who's got a PhD, who's written books, published in really difficult, hard-to-do places, and helped non-writers publish their books and achieve bestseller status and be fulfilled. I can do it.
Boom.
I'm willing.
I love it. Laura, you've been absolutely amazing. You know, like I said, but when we first started, you came highly recommended and you did not disappoint. I'm telling you, I was blown away at just your vulnerability, your authenticity. I love the fact that, you know, you've been through everything you've been through and you have the courage to talk about it. So thank you so much for coming on the show on Life Transformation Radio.
Thank you for asking me, Sean. It's been a delight, truly.
Awesome. We will talk soon, I'm sure, right?
Okay. Good night.
All right. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, another amazing episode with impactful guests. You never want to miss an episode. So subscribe to the show. Go to iTunes. Go to Google Play Music on the app or on Google Play. You can go to TuneIn. You can go to Stitcher. Subscribe. If you subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, rate and review the show. Send comments. Join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. You can interact with all of the guests. I love fielding questions. My guests love fielding questions. So interact, engage, and become part of the Life Transformation Radio Facebook community. So as we close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call that living your brand. And until next time, have a good night.